Welcome to Spiel Chicago, a podcast that takes you behind the scenes of storefront theater in Chicago. My name is Smyra Yan, and my guest this week is Eileen Tull, solo performer, comedian, writer, and producer of incredible feminist work here in Chicago. I spoke with Eileen after I saw her last full-length one-woman show, Bad Dates, or What Killed That Monkey in Indiana Jones Will Only Make You Stronger. Here's some of our conversation.
Before we get started about your work, I want to ask you, do you remember the first play or piece of theater that you ever saw?
I do. The first play I remember seeing, my dad teaches at a high school in Southern Ohio, and he's been a teacher there for 30-some years, and we would always go to all of the shows that they did. I remember going to see Fiddler on the Roof, and I must have been six or seven, and I remember sitting there, and I had been in that space because it was a gymnasium auditorium kind of thing, so it was amazing to me that they had taken the gym and turned it into a theater, and then for all of these people to come out on stage and create this world, and in Fiddler on the Roof, it's like the village of Anatevka pours in and comes to life immediately, and all these different characters are introduced, and I just remember kind of watching all of that and thinking like, oh, okay, I'd like to do that.
You say that you started in the wings or backstage, and then you made the leap to onstage. Were you interested in production, or was it something, was it just like a way in?
I think that what kind of sent me backstage was just when I got to the point where I had to start like auditioning for things in sixth and seventh grade of middle school, and I didn't get into like Annie. That kind of just took all the wind out of my sails. And in high school, I was never really cast in anything. I did like two chorus parts, but I just couldn't, I just never got an opportunity, and I never earned an opportunity. And I really allowed that to be like, to determine my, like whether or not I was allowed to be on stage.
When Eileen went off to college, she hoped it would be a fresh start, but a year in, she ran into the same problem. She just wasn't getting cast. And it further solidified her belief that she just wasn't meant to perform. But she stage managed, she wrote, and eventually she directed.
But I, you know, went out into the world, and I wanted to be a director. That was my goal. I was, you know, looking at grad school, looking at kind of, do I create a company? What do I do? Through a lot of circumstantial things where people would not show up for performances, for stage readings or things like that, I had to, or people get sick, like I had to step up and play roles in small projects that I was directing. So I got a little bit more confidence. I was able to feel more comfortable as an actor and like label myself as a performer.
It's funny how scary that is.
Yeah, and how we feel like it has to be, as if like we're all in kindergarten still, and you have like the thing over your cubby that says like your name, but it says instead like your profession, and like, yeah, somebody else has to tell you you're allowed to write that. And it's not true. Like, you just can insist upon your own path.
It's really funny to me that you, like, the beginnings of your career or becoming a performer are so timid, and you felt like you were held back by fear, because now you do these like really fearless performances where I watch you and I was like, oh my god, I could never go up and talk about my life like that, or just be on stage by myself like that. Like, it's such a turnaround from what you describe as the beginning of your performance career.
Yeah, and I found that for the past few years I've been living by the rule of like, if I'm afraid to do it, then that's what I'm gonna do. And really in life as well, but it's like, at the beginning of 2015, I was like, well, what's one of the scariest things in the world? And it would be to be naked on stage. Like, couldn't do it. No way. Not, no sir, no way, no how. And so since in the course of this year, I've created probably three or four pieces and done them multiple times where I, you know, take my clothes off on stage. I just did it on Monday.
What in this show scares you the most to perform?
I think it's because some of the language, I've always said that it's a show that's not about dating as much as it's about loneliness and how I think dating in general is about kind of how afraid are you of being lonely that you will date somebody, mm-hmm. you know? And I think for some people that threshold is not, you know, their tolerance for loneliness is not high. So for me, the show is about grappling with loneliness and figuring out how to be lonely and if you're okay with being lonely. And so that's very difficult to talk about on stage because I worry about looking pathetic and I worry about looking like a stereotype of a woman, and I worry about people then scrutinizing like what is it about me that men wouldn't find attractive. And yeah, I think that it's a bummer when people talk about loneliness, you know. And I think it's very similar to conversations about depression, anxiety, and mental illness, where people are like, oh, just get happier. Like, mm-hmm. just can you just get over it? Like, it's uncomfortable to talk about. So sometimes that's the scariest thing is to, there's a couple of lines that are like, I want to think that love will happen for me, but I'm just not sure that that's a true thing. And that's a very honest statement from myself. I think that in the time we live in, vulnerability is something very few and far between in terms of artistic products and in terms of, you know, even just like politicians and everybody. I mean, everybody wants to seem perfect. Everybody wants to seem like their Facebook profile is just so, and mm-hmm. everyone's life is in order, and everyone gets an iPad, and everybody, you know, everyone's having the best damn time. But I think to be really vulnerable and to say, like, I'm struggling, or I'm feeling my feelings, I think it's just really important. And I think we don't get enough of it, which is why sometimes people balk at the idea of mm-hmm. it. But yeah, that's usually a pretty terrifying, pretty terrifying thing.
So you perform at a lot of really interesting female-centric venues here in Chicago. Can you talk about some of those and how you found them?
Yeah.
How you created them?
Yeah. I think that it's fun whenever I list my credentials, I'm always like, loose chicks, beast women. Like they're very outwardly, you know, female empowering. I moved back to Chicago in June of 2014, and I was really not sure where I was going to, you know, what I was going to do. I had done traditional theater here when I lived here before, but I didn't know anything about the performance scene. I didn't know anything about performance art scene or like how to get involved with things. So I just Googled a lot of things. I mean, like I Googled like female performance Chicago submissions ? And I just emailed people, and I'd follow up with like a second and third email. I just like kind of bother people until they responded and told me how to get involved. And that's how I got involved with Loose Chicks, run by Roberta Miles. And they're great. They do more literary storytelling pieces, but what they look for is bold first-person accounts of, you know, being women and representing women's stories. And they perform twice a month. But they're really wonderful, and, like, they will accept any level of storyteller. I've seen people who are, like, moth winner grand slam people, and then I've seen people who are like, I've never told a story before. So it's really great. And Beast Women is a really wonderful group that it's a variety show that runs every, you know, quarterly ish and it's a late night show that they do burlesque and performance art and dance and poetry and monologues and just anything. But they're really fierce and bold, and you have the freedom. I've done like performance art type of pieces there, things that don't necessarily have a home in terms of like what they are,
mm-hmm.
in genre. So it's been a great place to explore those sorts of things. And then I run a performance series, a monthly performance series called Sappho Salon, which is a place that features female identifying and non-gender binary artists exploring gender, feminism, and sexuality in their work. And we are at Women and Children First every month, the second Tuesday of every month. And I co-curate that series with Liz Bodler, who's a local writer. Liz, who had been a volunteer for them, was still kind of interested. And Sarah said, why don't you guys meet? Liz and I met, and I'm so grateful to have Liz in my life as like a creative partner, because she's so, we just click on a lot of things. And so we both hit a lot of the same goals for Sappho's. And I was really happy to be able to open it up, you know, beyond just feminism, to exploring queer themes, to exploring themes about gender and gender identity. So we've been able to create a great space for those stories to be told and for those artists to be featured. So we've been doing that since April, and we do a 1 month of features and then another month of open mic. So where anybody can come, any female identifying or non-gender binary performer can come and share their work. And it's been a really lovely, rewarding experience. And I think it's something that makes me feel like I'm doing measurable good in the world. Which I think these days is hard to feel sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Especially in the arts.
Sometimes. Yes, very much so.
Eileen didn't always identify herself as a feminist. In fact, growing up, she had very different ideas about what that even meant.
I was a little bit more tomboyish, and I tended to judge other women and feel like I was always... My thing was, I'm one of the guys. I'm not like those other girls. So that mm-hmm. threw me into a very competitive nature with other women. And so I always thought that I related more to men. I am a big Star Wars fan, as I sit here in a Star Wars Christmas t-shirt.
I was admiring it.
Thank you. but I was always like, yeah, I don't want to be Leia. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be Marion and Indiana Jones. I don't want to be any of the women in the movies. I always wanted to be the men. And I thought that I didn't understand really what that was meaning. I always thought it meant that I was like not a feminist, that I didn't like women, when it was, I was calling out for more representation of women, more female role models, more, you know, women that I could identify with. I don't even really mean to be a feminist in my work. Like, there's not a lot that I'm like, okay, time to like really punch up the
check
feminism.
Off the points.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh well, I'm a feminist here, but I got contacted by a Christian women's group, and they, you know, I sent them some of my stand up. I sent them like a document, and they were like, we were looking at your website. And everything's great, but we were looking at your website, and we just want to make sure you're not going to say anything too controversial or feminist. And I was so shocked. And I turned down the gig, and I was like, I cannot in good conscience perform for a group of women who do not support feminism and who think that feminism is controversial. And then I was like, there's really not anything on my website that's like, I don't know, I'm not like burning pictures of men in effigy or like, I don't know. It was so baffling to me, but I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to stand for that. I think that any woman who stands up and tells her story without shame is a feminist act. I think that that's kind of how low the bar is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2015, like, if you're a woman and you're telling your truth and you're not ashamed of it, that is a feminist act, and that freaks some people out.
Do you have any like quick and dirty tips for someone who just wants to start writing, like wants to start doing it right now?
Stop listening and go write. Like, go write. Put your hands on a keyboard, put pen to paper, do it, and don't judge whatever is coming out of you. Like, write immediately, because a horrible first draft is better than nothing, and the nothing that you carry around in your head and you think, oh, I can't do it till it's perfect, and I know how I want to tell the story, but like, oh, I don't want to write something bad. And you're gonna write something bad, and that's what a first draft is. is the bad version of the great story that you want to tell. Don't wait for permission from anybody. Don't wait for somebody to say you're allowed to do this. Don't wait for somebody to invite you to the table. I mean, see if anybody will, you know, put yourself out there. See if there's any space for you in pre-existing places, and be polite, be on time. But if you do not find those things, make your own. Invite people you respect out to coffee, like, and ask them, how did you get to where you are? People love talking about that. And, you know, just kind of make yourself available for opportunity. And if that opportunity doesn't come, like, make it. Sometimes I regret, like, waiting to be a performer and waiting until I was, you know, 25 or something to start even honing my voice. I feel like I wasted a lot of time, you know, just being afraid. Don't be afraid to just really suck. Like, it's like you will have terrible, bombing, awful nights. Like the other night, I performed to the wait staff at a place and it was terrible. Like, it was awful, you know, but someday you won't. Some audiences, you know, sometimes you'll have audiences of 3 people and they'll all weep deeply. And sometimes you'll have audiences of 50 and no one will be paying attention to you. Like, so just keep moving forward, you know, keep doing what is authentic to you.
Eileen, thank you so much for talking with me. This has been really wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Spiel Chicago. You can check out our show page for links to all of the shows that we mentioned. To follow Eileen on Twitter, which I highly recommend, you can follow Tully, that's T-U-L-L-I-E 23. If you have any questions, comments, or rants for us, you should definitely find us on Twitter at Spiel Chicago, that's S-P-I-E-L Chicago, or email us at spielchicago@gmail.com. See you at the theater.